From today's Gospel, Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. This past week, there was in Chicago an event that had people cheering and screaming in great excitement. And it had repercussions all over the world, especially a similar response in, of all places, Australia. What happened on Monday was that on her TV show, Oprah Winfrey announced that she was going to Australia to film one of her shows. Not only was she going to Australia, she was taking 300 of her audience with her. That's why they were excited. And they would all be flown in a Qantas jet by none other than John Travolta. Her show is going to be filmed live from the Sydney Opera House, which has caused the Australian Tourist Bureau to rename the Opera House, Opera House. This is all true. And then after the show in the Opera House, Oprah and her 300 fans are going to the Great Barrier Reef for sightseeing, and then to finish up what is going to be an exciting trip, they're going to my hometown, Melbourne, to go shopping, of course. So you can imagine the excitement amongst all those Chicago housewives last Monday when this was announced. And who wouldn't want a free trip to Australia? You see, to get something for nothing is always exciting. Who amongst us hasn't perhaps titillated at the idea of something free that's good? Isn't that why people go to Vegas regularly? Why people buy lottery tickets? And what about collecting 2-for-1 vouchers from all those publications we get in our letterboxes? I remember earlier this year standing in line at Ralph's supermarket up in Uptown Shopping Centre, watching a man purchase 24 jars of laundry detergent and each paid for with a $1 discount voucher. Who amongst us hasn't enjoyed a bargain or a discount? My thing, in case you don't realise, is collecting frequent flyer miles so I can get those free upgrades to Australia, but I'm certainly not going to go on the Oprah Winfrey flight when that happens. This talk about getting something for nothing leads to, of course, today's gospel, the parable of the dishonest steward. He wanted something for nothing, and so he pinched from his employer. His master took some money on the side and then threw it around as though it belonged to him. In fact, it didn't, of course. These days, we call that white-collar crime. It happens occasionally, perhaps more than we know. The steward, in fact, was a white-collar criminal, and he was a clever man, like many of them are. For to gain his master's confidence and trust and to get his job back, he gave others something for nothing. He discounted the debts of those under him. So, in fact, having done it to his master, he then made a generous concession to the others. How clever is that? Thus, Jesus concludes the parable by saying, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. In other words, we who are children of the light, who follow the light Jesus, are perhaps a little bit more innocent or naive or honest than those clever people, the ones he calls the sons of this world. I know what Jesus is talking about, and I think you do too. I usually take people as I find them, and I try to see in them an image of Christ, and I hope we all try and do that. But of course, sometimes when you take people at face value, you get deceived. And that's the risk that Christians take when we, in fact, see Christ in the other person. And indeed, we follow our Lord's teaching, he who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. So in our relationships with people, we are bound to take people as we find them. So that by being faithful in relationships, we might be proved faithful in larger and bigger things. We are compelled by our Lord to be faithful, even if it leads us open to being tricked or used or even attacked. In the middle of this gospel, Jesus says something quite strange following the parable. He says, "Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon." What does he mean? That we should use money to gain friends, buy friendship? It does seem strange. And the opposite, I would say, to what he is teaching us. This saying he gives has to be taken in the context of the text, "You cannot serve God and mammon." In other words, Jesus is saying, don't be a slave of money. Let it be useful to you, but don't let it control you. And there is a fine line between using money and being controlled by money. When we think of this and what our Lord has said, we automatically think of the very rich, you know, the millionaires, those who own property of great extent, whose lifestyle is beyond our imagination, or certainly beyond our affording. But this lesson could also apply to panhandlers and street people, for they always ask us for money, don't they? In a reverse way, money controls their lives too. They seem to exist purely to get money. It's the same as the millionaires. Money is important for Christians, of course, and it's important for a church like All Saints. We use it for God's work, and so its importance is right and proper. And like most churches, October is Stewardship Month. We will be asked to consider our giving to All Saints and to make a pledge. We could not budget without your pledges and your commitment. And the vestry is charged with overseeing this financial responsibility and the administration of it. It is necessary, and also so that we are good stewards of what has been given to us. All of us, no matter whether we are millionaires or street people, are called to be stewards of money, not slaves of money. There is a very close relationship between money and power, for one begets the other. Our politicians and world leaders are called to be stewards of power, not slaves of power. But many easily fall for that. For although having lots of money is an exciting thing, having power is the most supreme excitement of all. And many fall for that trap. In a parish, a stewardship campaign is about more than just money and budgets, more than about meeting our expenses. Traditionally, in the Episcopal Church, we say it's about time, talents, and treasure. That is, we give back to God in thankfulness for all his blessings to us, a portion of not only our money, but of our time and our talents. I think a better way of describing time, talents, and treasure is our presence, our labour, and our material worth. These three words, presence, labour, and material worth, convey what we are worth as individuals and our representation of who we are. And who we are is surely what we are giving back to God as stewards. Firstly, our presence. Our presence in the community of faith that we call the church is at the heart of being a Christian. Of course, we can pray to God anywhere, and most of us do. But our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his people to meet and celebrate the Eucharist together and to be his body on earth. Our presence is required for that to be possible. Our labour is also essential. St. James said, "Faith without works is dead." If being a disciple of Jesus was only a matter of good intentions, then we would be as dishonest as the steward in the parable today. And finally, of course, our material worth. Sadly, very sadly, the world judges us by our material goods and possessions. And we fall for that trap. Pledging not only reverses that mistake, but it shows what our values are. And when we pledge and tithe to God, we are also showing not only what our values are, but what we truly value, that is, the Church of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. So maybe we do have to take notice of what Jesus said, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light, and not be casual about these matters. And as children of light, to be like the sons of this world when it comes to stewardship, to be definite and determined and purposeful. And above all, not to be afraid to take the risk of giving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.